So good evening, everybody. In the last residential event, the beginning of December, and in the two subsequent Wednesday evenings, after that, and before the holidays, we began to explore the nature of freedom and suffering, particularly from the perspective of the subject-object-apparent dichotomy. The root of suffering is born from ignorance. Ignorance manifests as a belief, perception, idea, concept of a subject-object relationship or dichotomy. And we can't have a sense that there are objects around us or within us, and objects simply means, you could say, experiences, unless there is a subject to whom those objects occur. In order for there to be a subject that the objects occur to, there needs to be some form of identification as a something. The something that gets identified with fundamentally, or in primacy, is awareness itself. Once it's clear that everything else that's happening is in a flux, is in a flow, is dynamic, and is therefore changing, one can't say anymore, if one ever said this, that I am those things that are changing, and not something else. Once the identification with awareness occurs, and the way in which it occurs is through the I am aware thought, belief, concept, awareness itself, okay, awareness itself is completely unbounded. It has no center. It has no periphery. Awareness itself is non-locatable. This can be immediately realized. Even as this might be immediately realized, a thought can arise that I am aware. That's a thought. That occurs within awareness itself. However, that thought suggests to the person that they are this awareness. One cannot prove this, one can't document it, one can't pin it down, and yet it is assumed. So once that thought is mobilized, once that thought is in the stream of experience, it's actually very difficult, until there's a penetration into that, to refute it. And out of that idea that I am aware comes the idea that I am other things that occur to awareness, like thoughts, feelings, a body, memory, and so forth. Sense perceptions. Again, it hasn't been proven, and yet it gets assumed. In the nature of awareness, this idea that I am aware can be, you might say, uncovered at its root. And what is its root? It's simply an idea, not the fact, not the abiding truth. And instead of this just being an intellectual process, yes, one's kind of using thought to try to take apart thought, the actual nature of the awareness itself, the illuminating nature of awareness itself, reveals without doubt, you might say with certitude, that it's always simply been a thought that I am aware. Just a thought. And as that loosens, as that fixation upon existence as I am aware, awareness itself, you might say, liberates itself unto itself, and it's perfectly fine to have the thought that I am aware, but it's no longer cherished, it's no longer believed in. And this is what frees awareness to begin to, you might say, always, as it's always been, actually, in truth, but in ignorance it's not seen, free itself into the so-called world that we live in. Because the perception that I am separate from others, I am separate from the world that I live in, must be predicated on something. And it's the nature of awareness that reveals what it's predicated upon. And what it's predicated upon is the idea that I am aware. I am awareness. Or if you wish, you could call it consciousness. I am conscious. Just notice it right now. Just notice that idea that I am aware or I am consciousness. Once that idea, again, is mobilized, that is the beginning of the sense of separation. That is the beginning of the subject-object dichotomy. That is the beginning of suffering. That is where suffering arises. And if one experiences oneself as in some way unfulfilled, unhappy, or suffering, and one becomes aware of a possibility that it doesn't have to be this way, that my unhappiness or my unfulfillment, my unsatisfaction, doesn't have to be my abiding experience, then you begin to seek a solution. The seeking of the solution is actually, whether it knows it or not, attempting to dissolve the very thing that actually never truly existed, but only appeared to exist. And that is the subject-object dichotomy. Now we think in the sense that I am awareness, that we're over here and the world is out there. Or it doesn't just stop with I am awareness, I am the thoughts, I am the feelings, I am the body, I am here. I am not this out here, I am this. I am not you, I am me. Every other dualistic perception is based upon the subject-object dichotomy. And what I am saying, in short, is the subject-object dichotomy cannot exist in the same way that it appears to be existing perhaps right now for some of you, when the idea that I am awareness is no longer cherished and believed in. The idea that I am awareness. Why is that idea there? Buddha was very clear about this. The idea that I am awareness is based on a clinging to existence, which is so ironic, because that clinging to existence appears to live in opposition to the mystery of death. See, we really don't know what is living here when we are frightened by the ending of what appears to be living here, which is death. So instead of being befuddled by, confused, and even frightened by the apparent unknown of, as it's spoken of in the East, the dropping of the body, which is a little bit of a kinder way to say it than death. Because what is it that drops the body? What is it that doesn't die? As it's clear that everything is changing, is there anything here that doesn't change? When awareness is identified with as what I am, tucked inside that, for many humans, is the idea that awareness doesn't die. And yet this can't be proven. This cannot be grounded and proven. One can't even bring awareness down. One can't do anything about awareness. It's simply functioning. We can't even touch it. We can't locate it. And yet it's happening in this room. It's the most palpable thing here. It's the most mysterious, awesome, simple, ordinary thing here. So in identifying with this awareness, we then set up, you might say, a chain of causality of potential additional identifications. And we all know what it's like to be identified with something, whether that something is pleasurable or unpleasurable, particularly when that thing is changing, going away, lasting too long, any of these kinds of things, we become, to some extent, irritated, frustrated, aggravated, or plain, flat out, unhappy. Does this make sense? Because if something doesn't make sense when I stop talking, if you want to talk about that, we can. Because this may not make sense to every part of the thought process. Why is that? Because the thinking process is connected to the tendency to identify with particular types of experiences as the truth. I'm not saying that's all that thoughts do. It's not all that concepts do. But notice that that's partly what they do. So what happens through the power, you might say the illuminating, liberating power, the enlightening power of awareness, is that it becomes clear that it's absolutely unnecessary to be identified with anything. That's not nihilistic. That's not pessimistic, that's not negative, that's not pejorative, that's freedom. To be unidentified, to not need to identify with anything, as what you are, as who you are. Just consider that for a moment. Even the thought itself has a certain spaciousness to it, has a certain unboundedness to it. And notice that when there is an identification, I am this, I am this, I am this, there must also be contrary thoughts, I am not this, I am not this, I am not this. So certain kinds of feelings, let's say certain even kinds of unpleasant feelings like anxiety, that's okay that this is me, I don't have a problem with this, I can handle this. But if that anxiety gets too big, if it gets too large, no, this is not me. No, this is not okay. No, I need to do something about this. I need to change this. I need to alter this. This is not okay. This is too much. This is not tolerable. And so forth. And you can just run that with any other kind of experience. So these things must and will be seen for themselves. Because talking about this, in most cases, will not penetrate through, at least not all the way through. The view in the mind, the dualistic view in the mind, that I am over here and other things are out there. I'm never going to say, I am out there and other things are in here. It's always, I am in here and other things are out there. And please don't hear this as there is something, you might say, in a critical sense or judgmental sense, wrong with that. It's just something that happens. I am the subject, other things are the object. I am in here, other things are out there. There's an inside and there's an outside. This is duality. This is dualistic perception. And it is predicated, it arises fundamentally from the investment or the identification with the thought that I am aware. And actually, in truth, what happens is, as awareness in its true nature realizes itself as not anything in particular, but yet everything, and therefore all the particulars join the everything, join the inclusiveness of life. They're not separate. Just like the air in this room is not separate from the space that the air happens in. The thoughts, feelings, bodies, objects, floor, ceiling, fan, are not separate from anything else, anywhere. Not just in this room, but anywhere else. And yet, as long as that idea that I am aware, either consciously or unconsciously, because for some human beings it's unconsciously operating and actually conditioning the experience of life, moment to moment to moment to moment. And it very well could condition the experience of dying as well.